welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ian McKnight.
I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we're talking about the Auckland property market. Is it really the right time to invest? So the Auckland property market has been falling faster than any other region in New Zealand recently. So you might be thinking, is it really the right time to invest? And we're going to answer it honestly, both the arguments for and the arguments against. So when I do go in and look at those figures, I can see that the Auckland market between November last year and about March, April this year has fallen by 7.8%. Now, if we look at how that compares to some of the other regions, I can see that the next fastest falling region is Wellington with about 6.2%. You know, and then we've got those middle, lower North Island regions of Manawatu, Whanganui, Hawke's Bay and Gisborne, all down by about 3.5% to 4%. So Auckland has been falling faster. So this is argument number one for why it might not be the right time to invest in Auckland, or certainly if I was going to make the argument against it, that would be one of the things I'd point to. What is argument number two, Andrew?
Second argument is you're going to hear more of these stories about developers falling over. We're seeing it in the newspaper all the time. You know, once a week now, I'm seeing that kind of either article or hearing about, you know, someone in trouble. And
what was this week's article?
It's Monday, Edward.
Kenyan moving to Fiji.
look, and there's more people living in Auckland, so obviously it's just natural that there are more developers going on there. Plus, the developments there can be huge. And so if you have a supply chain issue or a delay, then it just kind of has that massive flow-on effect. So we are going to see more and more of this happening in Auckland than anywhere else.
And I tell you what, I'll give you arguments three and four.
Please do.
Argument number three is that the population in Auckland is shrinking. So we've got people moving to the regions. And the other thing is that because over the last 2 years there's been more working from home, there's been less pressure for people to actually live in the major cities.
You could have just moved and not told your boss.
Well, we've actually seen spillover into even the Whanganui property market from people moving from Wellington. Now, if you only have to be in the office once a week or don't need to be there at all, that's meant that people could move out to the regions, which means that the brain drain or the potential for people to move overseas and the population to shrink is probably more concentrated in Auckland compared to other places. So certainly, if you were to make the arguments against investing in Auckland in today's market, you would point to house prices falling, developers falling over, and the population shrinking. And on top of that, the interesting thing is I think we're going to see a lot more people worrying about potential oversupply in Auckland. For instance, over the last year, we've had about 21,000 consents for new dwellings, and that compares to only 4,000 back shortly after the GFC. So compared to a decade ago, we've got five times more consents than we had at the time. Now, bearing in mind that there was too few consents being issued at that time, but still five times more significant. So I think we'll see more people worrying about potential oversupply, especially against the backdrop of a shrinking population and seeing lots of properties being built.
Now, before we go jumping off a cliff and thinking it's a terrible time to invest in Auckland, let's look at the arguments of why it could be a good time to invest in Auckland. Well, first one is the long-term fundamentals. Now, Tony Alexander,
Papa Tony,
yeah, just wrote his Tony's View, and the headline was Auckland housing not munted. Now, he wrote 11 reasons why the housing market in our largest city isn't munted, at least for the long term. Now, my personal highlights were reason number three and four. So number three was Auckland attracts most of the migrants from offshore. So closed borders means that there's been an artificial dampening of Auckland's population growth over the past couple of years. But this is coming to an end, and this demand will add pressure to the Auckland housing market. And number four was most of the 165,000 plus migrants that are able to apply for the special residency visa, which the government's currently offering, live in Auckland. So some of these people will be in a position to buy property and therefore add demand to the market.
Whereas previously, of course, they would have been denied from buying through the Overseas Investment Act because they were classed as foreigners. Now, let me look at my personal highlights from that list of 11. I liked number 7 and 8. First of all, his reason is that Auckland is no longer overpriced, at least compared to the rest of the country. So from about 2010 up to 2016, Auckland had an enormous run of house prices where it sped well ahead of the rest of the country. Now between 2016 and 2020, everywhere else in New Zealand caught up while Auckland stayed relatively flat. So when we run our comparative model, Auckland is, depending on whether you listen to me or Tony, Tony says it's undervalued. The model I run says that it's about where it needs to be. But it's certainly not overpriced compared to the rest of the country. And so that is going to insulate it from large house price falls compared to other areas which appear to be well overvalued, your Manawatus, your Gisbans, your Wellingtons. And so Auckland will probably perform about how the rest of the country performs. Number eight is also the fact that, look, net migration runs in cycles. We're going to have periods where more people are moving to Australia. If there are good news articles in Australia about Australia growing, being easy to find jobs, and there are bad articles over here about New Zealand being in crisis. How many crises do you think we've got in New Zealand at the moment, Andrew? Because it feels like every time something goes wrong, it's the latest crisis. There's a cost of living crisis. There's a housing crisis. There's probably a race relations crisis. There's probably
cost of cheese, petrol.
That comes to cost of living, mate. But, you know, there's probably a health crisis, a education crisis, a crisis in our jails and correction system. Now, I'm not trying to be glib. I'm not saying that there aren't issues that need to be solved. My point is that if there are a lot of negative articles over here and relatively more positive sentiment over in Australia, then we're going to see people move. Now, this moves in cycles. Eventually, we will see migration being positive over here and negative overseas. And so because of that, while net migration might be low today, in 5, 10, 15 years, we would expect that there will be a move in cycle and we'll see more people going over there. And so I suppose argument number one for investing in Auckland is that its long-term prospects are still relatively good, especially compared to the rest of the country. We're still expecting the bulk of population growth to come within Auckland, and Auckland's organic population growth is actually not too shabby either. What's argument number two, Andrew?
The deals. And look, I've been talking about this a lot lately.
We might as well call you Daddy Deal at the moment, the amount you talk about it.
Honestly, though, I just honestly feel like there's never been a better time in the whole time I've owned this business to get a deal out of developers. And part of it's because we're a bigger company now that was able to twist the arm a little bit further. But also the market's terrible for developers. So I can go in there and just make them drop their pants. And so to speak. Anyway, I'm either seeing deals that stack up automatically, like I just approved a development today where there's a few properties available, just a few, and it's the tail end of the development. The developer just wants them done. The pricing he's given me is so good.
What are they then? What's the pricing?
I won't go into the exact pricing because there's about three different typographies within that.
Just give us a sense.
But I'm seeing kind of on average, if people aren't giving a discount, based on the old pricing, I'm able to get like 100, 200 grand off some of the deals that I wouldn't have got anything on last year.
What's that, like kind of 10%-ish discount?
20%.
That's quite compelling, isn't it? Where's the stock list? Argument number three as well is we do talk about Auckland having superior capital growth rate over the long term compared to some of the rest of New Zealand. Now, Andrew and I bicker about this constantly, about what the right figure is. But what we have seen is certainly in parts or in certain decent suburbs in Auckland, you know, ones that we would call investable, historically, we've seen just enormous capital growth there of kind of 8 to 9%. Now, I would never suggest that you base your forecasts on 8 to 9% capital growth. I think you're out of your mind if you're putting that down in your projections. But kind of 6%, you know, would you see high capital growth in the right parts of Auckland compared to elsewhere? I think you certainly could. And so if you're thinking about investing elsewhere compared to Auckland, I think that can be a compelling reason. Now, we've given four reasons against investing in Auckland. We've given you three reasons why it might be the right fit. Andrew, who do you think investing in Auckland in today's market would be the right fit for? Then I'll talk about who it might be the wrong fit for.
Well, I think firstly, you've got to have the stomach for it because, you know, you are going to have every one of your friends who's not necessarily a property investor but got an opinion, plus the bartender down at the local pub going to tell you that it's a terrible idea. So you've got to have the stomach for it if you're going to do it, because you can't buy it and then chicken out in a year's time and sell money because you'll lose. So that kind of goes on to my second point. You want an investor who's investing for the long term. If you're investing for the short term, Or if you're doing flipping, maybe not right for you.
Yeah, definitely. And now if we can talk about who it might be the wrong fit for, obviously there is your flippers, your people who have got a short-term perspective. Obviously people as well who aren't able to afford to get into the Auckland property market, even with some of those discounted prices. But I also think the main thing is if it's going to keep you up at night.
Yeah.
And for some people it will. For me, I'm like, oh gosh, when do I want to sell that property?
20 years' time.
30 years' time is usually what I think. I think, honestly, sometimes it makes me so happy when I think about I'm not sure if this is going to come across well or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. Like when I just think 30 years in the future, how well is that property going to do? Like it just solves all issues because you just think the increase in rent and the increase in the property value and the impact that inflation will have on the real value of that mortgage. It's just going to solve all my problems.
You say all your problems. You think about your kids will be going, Dad, I can't believe you bought a house for $1 million. And they'll laugh and say it was so easy back in your day. That's what they'll say.
Do you know what the thing is? They probably will, because even if you factor in a 2% inflation rate, and let's say that property just increased by 2% a year, by the time I retire, that $1 million property would be worth $2 million. And that's factoring in very, very small increases in property values compared to what we've seen in the past and no increase in the real value of property. So even in that scenario, you're talking about my kids saying, oh, well, it was half the price it was today.
That's right.
So you are correct. Now, the other
thank you. Always nice to hear you say that.
Makes a change. But certainly, if it's going to keep you up at night about these increases and decreases, you know, certainly might not be the right time. But the other thing I just want to point out, I forgot argument number four, actually, is that the price falls in Auckland, while between November and March, they have fallen 7.8%. I'm not going to deny that. I do think you've got to look at what happened immediately before. So, yep, over the last 5 months, 7.8% fall in Auckland prices. But if you look at the 5 months immediately before November, so the lead up, we saw that Auckland house prices rocketed ahead of the rest of the country. So Auckland went up about 13%. The rest of the country only, I say only, but it went up 9%. But Auckland rocketed well ahead of the rest of the country in those 5 months. And so in the immediate 5 months following, had further to fall. I expect that over the next couple of years, Auckland house prices will probably mirror what happens with the rest of the country. So I don't think that that sole fact, the fact that it's fallen by 7.8%, is so material that you'd pay so much attention to it without looking at the rest of the factors as well. Now, ultimately, people are going to have to make up their own decision about whether they've got the stomach to use this as an opportunity to get a deal, or whether they'd prefer to invest in somewhere that, you know, potentially is more stable over the next 1 to 5 years. Let me ask you this just before we wrap up though, Andrew. You going to be investing in Auckland?
Absolutely. And I often say this to my investors, the one regret that I have with decisions to invest in property is not investing in Auckland sooner. And that's purely because I'm from Canterbury and you can buy two properties in Christchurch for the price of one Auckland historically. And that set me back massively, because if I'd bought even half the properties in Auckland that I have in Christchurch, I'd be sitting on a beach sipping pina coladas.
Absolutely
recording this via Zoom.
Now, well, let me ask you another question. At the start of the year, you said you wanted to buy 10 properties this year. You said that on the podcast. Podcast. Yeah. My question is, you know, a third of people live in Auckland.
I would do 80%.
You're going to do 80% in Auckland? Because my question was, are you going to do
33%? 7 or 8.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Interesting. And as a total value, that's going to be higher.
I made an offer on an Auckland one today.
Yeah. What was it?
Never you mind. You didn't get to see it.
Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the Property Academy podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you want to put a wealth plan together with one of our financial advisors, that's where you sit down and plan your financial future, figure out what your property investment game plan is going to be, then easy way to sign up for that, send us a text. Text the word plan to 5522 and we'll be in touch to book your complimentary portfolio planning session. Listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ebony Knight.
I'm Andrew Dingle.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.